Empower Radio presents The Miracle of Healing with Lisa Campion. Meet healers, learn different modalities, and hear empowering stories of people on their healing journey. The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Lisa Campion.
Hello, I'm Lisa Campion, and this is The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio, where conscious people come together to explore the world of healing and heal the planet one person at a time. So today we have a really special guest. Her name is Marie Dion, and she has this book that's coming out very soon. She's launching it soon, called Journey of a Red Soul. And she's came about writing this book in a very interesting way, since she's really an artist and doesn't consider herself a writer. However, a couple of years ago, she had a poem come to her. She says it's channeled from her ancestor spirits and gave this communication to her, and that she wrote this book in a very channeled way. A bit kicking and screaming along the way, since her gifts are so talented with art and visual media. So the words really came through her in this way that's super cool. And I think that what's amazing about her book is it sort of ties in her past life. So she tells a story of uncovering her Native American roots in this lifetime, and that branched out into her exploration of her past lives and how they all weave together to tell a story that's very inspiring, very powerful, and really have her story really has the opportunity, I think, to help us all remember how interconnected we are, how we're connected at this deep soul level, and that these sort of outside factors that we have to deal with, like race and religion, are just on the surface and create a lot of problem for us. But when we come down to the bottom of who we really are inside, there's this interconnectedness. And she had that experience inside of herself. Very, very cool narrative. And so I wanted to introduce her. Welcome, Marie Dion.
Oh, thank you, Lisa. I'm very happy to be here.
So this is such an unusual book, and it's an unusual story. And the first thing really that you notice about the book is that it's filled with this incredible artwork. Really just stunning. And I know that there are paintings that you've done.
Yeah, they're all paintings that I have done along my, I think over the past 20 years, where when my ancestors started coming to me, I went on this real creative bend. And as I was going along and healing through the different things that I was going through in my life, these paintings happened. Where this is where my talents have been, and this is what I know and how I express myself, right? So I never planned on writing a book. The book actually is already, the full color version of the book was launched already, but we're doing a relaunch is what we're doing for the paperback version, the hardcover version, on 11/11.
Great. So, I mean, I would say if people can get their hands on the color version, I would hope that they would, because it's so stunning to be able to look at your artwork. But I know this book really came about in an unusual way. Can you talk a little bit about how you were inspired to write this book?
It's funny because 20 years ago, when my ancestors, I grew up Catholic. And that's all I knew for spirituality. I knew I was Native, but my family did not practice Native ways, because there's a bit of a story around my great-great-grandmother. And what I guess happened, from what I understand, is they were in Canada. They were taking all the children away from the Native people and putting them in residential schools. And she refused to have that happen. So she actually denied her Native heritage so she would not lose her children. Mm-hmm. And so we had lost our connection then. And so 20 years ago, I had moved to Maine for a job, and my ancestors had an opportunity to reach me at that age. And what happened was the first time they ever channeled anything to me, it was a prayer. And it was word for word, and I'm going to just read it quickly here because I'd like to start with this prayer in everything that I do. So the prayer is, my Creator, my God, please guide my spirit through this day, that I may live my truth, hold my power and integrity, that I may be thankful for this time of learning, this incubation period for my love, my creativity, and myself. Please help me to be patient, accepting of this time, and to recognize and acknowledge the messages and the gifts that you constantly send me to sustain my spirit. Amen and a whole. And I always say amen and a whole because I blend my spirituality, right? So that was 20 years ago. And 3 years ago, I had a poem come to me word for word the same way the prayer did. Now, I had never written anything before. I had never written a poem before, and let alone a poem that was 3 pages long. And I have to say that this all came about 8 months or to a year before even Standing Rock happened. So it was almost like on the precursor of that.
When you say your ancestors, you mean the spirit guides, really, or the spirits of your ancestors that come to you and give you information. That's what you mean.
That's what I mean. And mostly it's my Blackfoot grandfather and my Mi'kmaq grandmother. So it's the two of them that tend to really kind of dominate the messages that come to me.
Would you read the poem for us too?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Okay. So it's called A Red Soul. I have a story to tell. A red soul will understand. A red soul remembers all. A red soul has returned. I have a story to tell. Do I look white to you? Have I blended in well? Have I been controlled, conquered, eradicated? No, I am still here. It is still me. I have a story to tell. My children who were murdered in my arms now surround me in this life. My tribe scattered have now gathered once again. We are here together for our mother, the earth, for ourselves to heal what's been done. I have a story to tell. Can you hear? Can you see? Many years we were not heard. We were not seen. Can you hear us now? Can you see us now? We are still here. I have a story to tell. Are we still in your way as you take all that we have? What of the treaties you so desperately wanted us to sign? You do not honor any of them. You have no honor. It made no sense to us then, and it makes no sense to us now. As you destroy our Mother Earth, you destroy yourselves. I have a story to tell. Our ancestors, our ties to our ancestors are strong. Their wisdom flows through us. We listen. We are still here. A healing from what's been done needs to occur. As we heal, as we forgive, those who have come before, those yet to come, will heal. 7 generations. I have a story to tell of a red soul's journey to heal what's been done. What has happened? Forgive? We must. We are here to do so. We have returned for our mother, and we are here among you, those of us with red souls. We have a story to tell. Do you have ears to hear, eyes to see, or are you as blind and deaf as your ancestors were, taking what was not theirs to take? There is still a story that must be told for all of us to heal, red, white, yellow, and black. May a healing happen for all. May all your stories be told and acknowledged. May forgiveness and healing surround you and those you love for the good of all and harm to none. Oh.
Wow, that's so powerful.
It was intense. And it was a tense moment. I wrote it so quickly, and I just kind of sat back and was dumbfounded by the words that had just come through. And then my grandfather said, well, that's just the beginning of the book. And I said, what book? And they said, you now need to write the book. And I said, I'm not a writer. I'm not writing the book. And they said, we will help you. We will write it through you. And that's how it started.
And what is a red soul? Like, what does that mean to you?
Well, I think that it's got to do a lot with identity. So there's a lot of, I call it nonsense, trying to figure out, well, how much blood, native blood do you have in your system? And really, people that resonate with native ways, this is from what my ancestors tell me, is that the native people, when we were being murdered by the soldiers, the ancestors would said to the soldiers that we would return as your sons and daughters. And we have. There's a lot of people that have come back as white for two different reasons, to fulfillment of that prophecy, to heal things. And then the other is the fact that, you know, there was so much hate. You always, you know, there's so much hate in that we were just being murdered, and all that hate had to be forgiven and dissipated. And what better way than to come back as that which you've hated, so that you can actually live a life in those, in, from that perspective, into to actually fully forgive and fully heal.
So a red soul may be somebody that has had a Native American lifetime,
yes,
and is now isn't a Native American this time, but resonates with that culture.
Yeah, and I would say that if it resonates, it's not just one lifetime. The ones that, you know, don't know why they're drawn to it, even, you know, I have Native blood, but, you know, there's a lot of people that I meet who you know, think that they do or don't understand why they're called to it when it's not even in their lineage. And there's a lot of people like my Blackfoot chief, that my real chief that lives up in Alberta, he's actually going to Europe a lot, teaching people in Poland, in these countries that there's no native people, and they're drawn to him because they've been native before. And so it's just in this life that they are not native. So they remember at some level, their soul remembers. And at some level, their soul is bringing them to those teachings again.
So this, your book is very revealing. It really talks a lot about the difficulties of your life, the details of your life. What was it like to write such a revelation?
Well, it came through pretty quickly. It came through in like 6 months. And then I had to kind of live through the healing of every part of my book. So that was the part that took 3 years, because as much as I came through and I wrote it in like 6 months, I had to kind of heal from every aspect. So the only way I can kind of describe this is how they, my ancestors have helped me understand it, is when you cross over and you have your life review, you see all the interconnectedness of everything that has happened to you, right? So I got to have all the puzzle pieces put together for me while I'm still here on this side. And so there was a lot of healing. There was a lot of a very intense work I had to do to heal all these different parts to move forward and to actually be able to put this book out. And when Standing Rock happened, right on the heels of me finishing the writing of this, but, you know, and doing this, something woke up inside me that was very deep and very intense. So the timing of it was just impeccable as far as I'm concerned, because to have then lived through that, and I had friends there, and I was raising money and sending money and being in touch with almost all of them every day through that whole occupation, which was very intense.
Yeah, I mean, the whole book is intense. There's a lot of like very personal details about your relationships and your family and, you know, your memories of your past lives. It's a little bit like, if you reading the book is a little bit like reading a journal, a diary that goes back through many lifetimes.
Yes. Well, I was, you know, I was born remembering a lot of the bits and pieces of these lifetimes. Like when I was a child, I remember very, very young, I would have these nightmares where I thought were nightmares. And I was running and running and running. And I was running from the soldiers. I was running, trying to save my life. And so I came in carrying that. I came in carrying those memories. And I never understood them. You know, basically, I was protected by the full understanding until I was old enough to handle it. Because, I mean, it was so overwhelming. And I have had many people read the book, and including I had a second editor read the book. You know, she kind of came in at the end, just before we were going to publish the first edition, and she read it in like 2 days, and she said, "Oh my God, Marie, I had a healing from reading your book." And she was so surprised, and I was surprised, because here I am thinking this is just my story. But she gave me an inkling that this was beyond me, that this story, just sharing how these pieces fit together, is going to allow other people, and more women, I think, read the book than men, but I have had men read it as well, that really, really found it to help them heal themselves in their own lives.
Do you consider yourself a psychic? Because there's a lot of, it really, to me, because I am a psychic, so to me it was really interesting, the way that you receive your information, the connection you have with your ancestors, and the conversations you have with the guides, especially your grandfather. And I think a lot, some of the healing that you did in the book, you know, in the process of writing it and in living your life, came from owning that this was real, that this is a psychic experience, if you would even call it that. Tell me more about that part.
Well, I never consider myself a psychic or a medium, but I have to say that I am very deep in our native ceremonies. I go to Canada a couple of times of a year, and I have gone up there probably for 20 years now. But what I found is the understanding of the unseen world is to me very much like nature, in that it has natural laws. And the more I learned them along the way, the more I understood it, the more I could accept, you know, and a lot of the things that I've had happen to me were very supernatural, but I had witnesses that it wasn't just me who heard things. Like, there's something that's not in the book. When I first started hearing my Blackfoot grandfather, a friend of mine and I were down at the beach at a cottage, and we were doing a little ceremony in the living room on the floor, and all of a sudden the door was open. It was a beautiful day, and all of a sudden I heard him chanting and singing in the doorway as if he was standing there. And I didn't say anything, because I'm so used to nobody else hearing what I hear or see what I see, that I was always very self-conscious, so I never said anything. Well, my girlfriend looked at me, and she goes, "If you don't tell me you hear this, this is not for me. I am not hearing this for me. I'm hearing this for you to validate you." And so that was like one of the very first times that 20 years ago that I actually had other people witness supernatural events with me. You know, in the book, I actually talk about meeting a Catholic priest and having an experience that I would not have believed had the priest not been sitting there witnessing with me, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, for me, it was a lot of learning to trust what was happening. And, you know, when I was a child, I could see the angels in the church, and I wouldn't see them every day. I would see a glimpse of them here and there, and I would see, you know, a wing, or I knew they were there, though. Like, I could feel them, and when I would see them, I would kind of grab my Italian grandmother's shirt and I'd say, hey, do you see that? Do you see that? And she thought I was just a child, you know, and she did not understand that I was really seeing what I was seeing. So most of that was dismissed by my family, most of my growing up, you know?
Yeah, I do actually. I think many of us have had that experience. And I was reading your book, I could really feel that there's a possibility or a potential to bring healing between Native people and white people or non-Native people. Has that been happening as the books come out into the world?
I would say so, because there's a lot of Native people. When I'm at the reserves in Canada, there's a lot of Native people that are searching. You know, we have these incredible sacred ceremonies, and half the people that live on the reserve don't even know they're happening. And there is a real healing that needs to be done. I mean, the residential schools in Canada did such a job on people that the healing really needs to run deep up there as well as down here. I mean, that's where my roots are, so that's what I understand.
And I know that some of your book, the proceeds for your book go to a charity. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so I have had a wonderful opportunity to meet some great people that are associated with the Lakota tribe at the Greengrass community on the Cheyenne River Reservation. And for 34 years, they have been running this nonprofit. And the women that run it are amazing. It's just a handful of women, and they are so beautiful. They were out at Standing Rock. They brought some of the women back from Standing Rock to some events I've been to, and I've met them, and they're just lovely. What I decided to do is, especially now with doing the launch, is I want to have a portion of the proceeds of all my sales of my book to go to this nonprofit, because what their funds are going to do is help to foster a bridge between the mothers, the grandmothers, and the children in the traditional arts as a conduit. Because I'm an artist, so what they do is they raise money for these women, and these women make tribal crafts. They make star quilts, medicine bags, beadwork, quill work, and the organization, Tribal Crafts, they actually purchase them from these women so that they can buy their groceries, pay for the heat, have water, buy diapers, and it's such a beautiful integration of the arts in a nonprofit, and they've truly, truly supported this community for 34 years. And it's a very kind of a quiet nonprofit. Not many people know about it.
And how can people buy your book? Because if they buy your book, then they're going to help this nonprofit. So how do we get in touch with you? How do we buy your artwork? What do people do if they want more Marie Dion?
Well, what I'm going to be offering for the launch is I actually have a special edition of the book that I'm having printed. It's being printed right now, actually. So the book right now is available through Balboa and Amazon. And we're offering also a black and white paper version, but paperback version is in black and white. And I wanted a color version. So I had a special edition done that I'm having printed that I will be selling on my website. And I'm also going to be offering prints of the paintings, some of the paintings that I actually have as G. Clay prints that will be also raising money for the nonprofit. And I'll be doing this. There'll be a page on my website. It's not up yet. It will be up in the next week or so, or before the launch. And the launch is 11/11. Yeah, So stay tuned for that. That's coming. I'll be doing some promotions for that as well.
Good. Well, I really thank you so much for being on the show with me today, Marie. And I encourage everyone to read your book, to get a copy of it, to buy a print, and to just explore your work, because it's so rich and interesting and juicy and, you know, really neat. So it's a very timely topic to you know, bring about harmony around our people, all of our people in the world. We really need your work out there. So I encourage everyone to go be a part of it. And thank you so much for being on the radio with us here today.
Oh, thank you. And the artwork is healing as well. So
it's beautiful.
Yeah, the artwork has its own healing path, eh?
It does. And thank all of you guys for joining us today on the Miracle of Healing, where we are healing the planet one person at a time right here on Empower Radio.